You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So we are now talking about housing, which is a big topic. The government announced yesterday its plan and schedule for healthy home standards. Private landlords have 2 years to make sure their properties meet the new standards, while Housing New Zealand and other social housing providers have until 2024. These standards are as follow. You might have heard them before, but here they are again. Have a heater that can heat the main living area to 18 degrees Celsius. Have ceiling and underfloor insulation that either meets the 2008 building code insulation standard, or for those with existing ceiling insulation, has a minimum thickness of 120 millimetres. Now, kitchen and bathrooms will be required to have extraction fans or range hoods, and you have to install a ground moisture barrier to stop moisture rising into the home where there is an enclosed subfloor space, and you have to have adequate drainage and guttering to prevent water entering the home and obviously block draft that make a home harder to eat. So while a lot of renters will probably rejoice at the prospect of a warmer house, yet sigh at the fact that they will have to wait another few years not to feel cold anymore, landlords and the National Party have expressed their disbelief in the benefic impact of these measures. National's housing spokesperson Judith Collins says that the new insulation rules will ultimately hurt tenants, as landlords will pass on the cost of fixing their homes onto those who rent said houses. A view that Andrew King, President, Director of New Zealand Property Investors Federation, shares. Now, Housing Minister Phil Twyford has estimated to around $7,000 the average cost of upgrading a three-bedroom house to the new standards. And that is no secret that Auckland is particularly affected by the poor state of rental homes. And this morning on their weekly chat, Mikey Havoc brought the topic up with Auckland Mayor Phil Goff. Here's the chat. Sorry if you've already heard it.
Now, I know this is probably more of a central government issue, but we also find out today that New Zealand ranks at the bottom of developed countries on youth mortality rates, and 18, this is out of 19 countries, okay, out of 19 countries, we rate 18th for asthma-related deaths, for poor housing, poor condition, for cold and respiratory deaths. We rate second to worst out of 19 countries out of this. Now, we're in the city that's constantly obsessed by building more homes. We're in the city that's got the highest rents in the country. We're in a city where people are whinging, landlords are complaining about their capital gain tax like it's a personal insult to them, and moaning about the fact they've got to get up to spec by 2024. Children are dying, young people are dying, and the 18th worst we are in the world, according to this recent study, which is a British healthcare study, think tank Nuffield Trust, which looked at the UK's record in adolescent health and well-being in relation to 18 countries of similar economic and cultural backgrounds. So that is really bad. That's more than 155 people, Phil. That's a lot of young New Zealanders and young Aucklanders that are dying because they live in shitty homes that nobody will fix up.
Yeah, and but there were two articles in the paper this morning that I think are relevant to the higher standards now being imposed on rental property. One was that youth health and well-being figure, and we did really badly on a number of things there. Mortality rates for 10 to 19-year-olds, as well as the asthma mortality rate,
The reason I connected it to the Lyme scooters thing, Phil, just before you go on, just so people know why I connected those two, because there's been, like I say, 155 incidents of these scooters tipping over or shutting themselves down mid-flight, and there's a certain relative amount of ACC claims as well. There's been last year in New Zealand $145 million in ACC claims for respiratory disease. Illnesses.
And the other article I was going to refer to is the one that says that poor housing is causing preventable injury and disease. It's estimated to cost New Zealand up to $164 million a year.
Maybe that's what I'm talking about.
And the hospital admissions as well as
164, ACC. Is it? Right.
Yeah, 164. And that's a lot of money. I frankly didn't have a lot of sympathy for the one or two landlords that came out and said, and actually the opposition, the National Party, that said, "Oh, this is going to put pressure on landlords, and it'll lead to increased rent." I just think it's fundamental that if you're renting out, it's a bit like if you're renting out a scooter, make sure it's safe. If you're renting out a house,
make sure it's safe
it's fit to live in. Yeah,
and that doesn't say, "Oh, well, to make our scooters safe, we're going to have to up the price of our per ride for everybody." Just make them safe. Otherwise, you don't get to do it.
Yeah, to be fair to landlords, I saw a whole lot of landlords come out and say, "Hey, that's no problem. This is the sort of stuff that we are doing now anyway."
Yeah, that's what I mean. The people that are doing it right, it's the people who are arguing the point and saying, "Oh, well, come on, at least we're giving them somewhere to live."
I just think when you're a low-income family and you're renting at the bottom of the market and your home is wet, mouldy, drafty and unhealthy, you're going to have time off work, your kids are going to have time off school, there's going to be unnecessary illnesses and hospitalisation. That's not the sort of city or country we want to create. Of course we've got to have these minimum standards. You know, that is absolutely fundamental, that every kid can grow up in a home that's warm, safe and healthy. And that's just bottom line stuff, I think.
And it's this is the thing. It's all very. I love the way that people are so quick and easy to shut down the scooters when the scooters are causing the trouble. But it's these are people dying.
It's not an either or. It's a both and.
Yeah,
you've got to have basic
safe.
Decent
safe
standards.
Is the same word.
I want to know when I'm using any vehicle on the road that it's safe to use. I want to know that if any family is living in a home, that it's a safe and healthy home for them to live in.
But if you can't do that, then you shouldn't be renting out homes.
No. That's exactly it. And you know, I remember that case last year where this family out in Papakura had several centimetres of water under the house permanently.
Yeah.
Because of bad drainage. And then when they complained, they were given eviction notices. I just thought that's frankly bloody outrageous.
A recent home that I lived in, I was privy to finding out, just because the guy turned up on the day, just how much insulation there was compared to how much insulation there should have been, and it was a lot less.
We noticed that when we had old insulation and we renewed the insulation, how much difference it made in the warmth of the house and reducing the cost of heating it. And, you know, if you're a tenant, you can't control that. And that's why, you know, I mean, all in favour of the government schemes that have said, look, we will give financial assistance to those to insulate their homes, particularly their rental homes. And, you know, a lot of people took advantage of that, but not everybody did. When you're renting a house, it's not just a commercial transaction. This is how much money I need at the end of the week to meet my costs. But you've actually got a liability there, that you are responsible for the health and well-being of the family if the house is not a safe house to live in. You know, and tenants have their responsibilities as well. But I just think I was appalled when I think it was Judith Collins that came out and said, "Oh, you know, this is a bad thing." Sorry, Judith, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's a good thing that people can expect to live in a house that's warm, dry and healthy.
So that was Auckland Mayor Phil Gough talking to Mikey Havoc on the 95BFM Breakfast Show this morning. Now, I wanted to expand a little bit on something that was briefly touched on at the beginning of their chat, which is this report that was presented yesterday about the cost of poor housing conditions in New Zealand. By the way, its release at the same time as the government announcement is actually completely coincidental. So that means the study wasn't actually the basis of the government's action. Anyway, for the first time, the study looks at the consequences of combined factors on people's health, amongst which damp, cold, mould and disrepair. That means that usually those researchers kind of tend to only see the consequences of one of these factors. So they will look at how damp a house is and what consequences that has, but it sort of fails on looking at everything at the same time. So I had a chat with a very brief chat with Dr. Lynn Riggs, the co-author of the research on its findings.
So in total, we estimate it's about $145 million annually just for ACC claims and hospitalization costs. We actually think that there's a lot more costs that could be included. We just haven't had the opportunity to include them yet. So things like GP visits and pharmaceutical costs, and of course time off from work when people are ill. So all of those other costs we haven't yet included.
One thing that you do in this research as well is that you combine multiple factors instead of just focusing on the dampness or on the coldness of a house. You actually combine all of these things. Is that so that it gives more of a realistic picture of what it's like to live in those houses?
One thing that we thought was we should give a holistic view of all the costs associated with these poor housing conditions, so that policymakers can know that if, you know, they're going in and fixing some of these problems, how much benefits they might expect to see from those fixes.
What do you think of the schedule that's been announced, and is that